congregation please rise, and our interest hymn is Now the Green Blade Rises, a French carol, hymn number 379. He made water a sign of the kingdom of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that those who are here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sins of all of those who are cleansed by this water and bring them forth as inheritors of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor, glory and worship, through your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in holy baptism, our Christ received you and made you members of his church. In the community of God's people, you have learned from his word God's loving purpose for you and all creation. You have been nourished at his holy table and called to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people, to hear God's word and share in Christ's supper, to proclaim the good news God in Christ's word through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth.
I ask God to help and guide me.
Gracious Lord, through water and the Spirit you have made these people your own. You forgive them all their sins and bring them to newness of life. Continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit and daily increase in them your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Through Jesus the Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together the prayer of the day, as is found on the bottom of the page. Let us pray. Almighty God of life, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of your faith that we may see Christ in his redeeming word. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading today is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmity today is Psalm 116. Let's read it responsively. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and my supplications. For the Lord has given ear to me. Therefore, I will call on the Lord as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The anguish of the grave laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord? For all the good things God has done for me. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of your servants. O Lord, I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. In the courts, the house of the Lord. In the midst of you, O Jerusalem, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deed, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like gold, silver, or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another in the heart, you have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Easter gospel acclamation is different from the rest of the year. It is hymn number 385, Good Christian Friends Rejoice and Sing. We stand as we sing this hymn, 385, and we sing verses 1 and 4 only in preparation for the reading of the gospel. Hymn 385, verses 1 and 4. For today, this third Sunday of Easter, is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once again, we stand in honor of the Gospel reading in our midst and Christ in our midst through it, but I invite you to be seated because it's a fairly long Gospel once again this day. You may follow along or simply listen to it and follow along in that way. Luke chapter 24. Now on that same day, Easter Sunday afternoon, 2 weeks ago, two of them, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we have hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe and trust all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. When they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So Jesus went in to stay with them. When Jesus was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. The 11 and their companions were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon Peter." Then they, Cleopas and the unnamed disciple, told what had happened on the road, and how he, Jesus, had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Luke, 24th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon. This time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In preparation for this moment today, the very first sentence I read in one of my theological tomes, in one of the commentaries that I used three or four or five of in preparation for the sermon, and I had to sit there and laugh. I had to sit and laugh. This is, quote, what it actually said. The challenge is that the disciples did not expect a proleptic inbreaking of the end times. You can explain that to me at coffee hour. Okay? We've got a college student with us now. I'm going to pick on you. Yeah, welcome. Are you back for summer? No, you're just back for a long weekend. Well, there you go. And you're at church? I love you. Okay. And your cousin, too. Yeah. Anyhow, welcome. The challenge is that the disciples did not expect a proleptic inbreaking of the end times. It took me 3 years of graduate school to understand that sentence. And basically what the theologian is saying there about the proleptic inbreaking of the end times is, in other words, the disciples did not expect to see Jesus at all. And that's obvious from our gospel reading today. The disciples did not expect to see Jesus at all. When the disciples see the risen Christ in all three gospels we've been in, Matthew, John, and now Luke, there is familiarity and mystery, recognition and confusion all at the same time. They get it and they don't get it all at the same time. Two Sundays ago, Easter morning, we had the Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother The Marys were at the tomb. And they didn't know who Jesus was until he said, "Kairata," the Greek word for rejoice. Rejoice! And they realized it was Jesus. They fell at his feet. They worshiped him. And what did he say to them? "Do not be afraid. You no longer need to fear death. I have been victorious over death. So rejoice with me. I am victorious over life, and I bring you life." And that was a sermon 2 weeks ago. Last week's sermon was in John's gospel. And Jesus meets the disciples in the upper room behind closed, locked doors because they were afraid that they would be arrested too. And what does Jesus say to them? "Peace be with you." The women get to rejoice. The 10 disciples in that upper room with the dozens of other disciples, I think, were told, "Peace be with you." And they, like the women, didn't recognize Jesus by his facial features or by his voice. All my adult life, I've had people, when they talk to me, go, "You sound just like your father," which is a compliment. I take that as a compliment, yes. "You sound just like your father," who was a preacher from the pulpit and all that kind of thing, too. Recognize Jesus by his face or by his voice. How did they recognize Jesus in the upper room last Sunday? The sermon? It was from his hands and his side, his wounds. So when the women heard his voice, rejoice, do not be afraid. And when the men and women in the upper room locked behind closed doors for fear of being arrested and beaten too, because they were disciples, followers, students, even though he says, peace be with you, they recognize him by his wounds, his hands and his side. Bulletin cover from last week. If you didn't have one, I've got one in my office. I'll give it to you. Today in Luke's gospel, it's even better. So we had Matthew 2 weeks ago, John last week, and now we're in Luke's gospel. Just stick with one, please. Luke's gospel account is even better than the other two. Because in Luke's gospel, that's why I like Luke so much. John is the artistic one. Matthew is the bombastic one. Mark is the theological short one. But Luke is the gospel of worship. There is more of our worship that is quoted from the book of Luke than any other book in the Bible. For Luke, it's all about worship. Praying and praise to God and God speaking to us. It's about worship. And so Luke's gospel account here is all about worship and about liturgy. The two disciples, Cleopas and the unnamed one, female theologians now are saying it was his wife, okay, or a female theologian. They're not named that often, but the Marys were named. They were disciples, followers of Christ. Whether it was a male or female, whether they were married or not, there's Cleopas and another disciple. And they're walking, they're leaving Jerusalem in the afternoon to go back home to Emmaus. 7-mile hike. And all of a sudden, another follower, journeyman, hiker, is with them. And so the three of them are walking along. And Jesus says, what's going on? Why are you so sad? And they said, are you the only one who doesn't know what's happened in Jerusalem this weekend? Which I love. The one person in Bible study this morning, they got the irony of that all. They, the Jewish disciples, are asking Jesus, don't you know what happened this weekend? Jesus certainly knew what happened. He was there when he was arrested, beaten, hung out to dry, crucified, and then raised from the dead. But they rehearse it. They tell him the story. And then he reprimands them and said, don't you know that there's life after death? Do not be afraid. You. Now, they didn't have those gospels that they could hear and read. You do. Do not be afraid. Rejoice, Kairota. And peace be with you in the midst of your trials this week. Don't you know, Lord, what's happened to me this week in my life? If we had enough time, there's almost few enough of you that I would go around and ask you each that question. What happened to you this week in your life that you needed God's presence with you? So Jesus, bless his little pea-picking heart, he gives them a Bible study. You know, when in doubt, let's do the Bible study. And he brings out his book of Psalms and prophets, and from Moses all the way through the prophets, he explains to them about himself, about the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. Okay? And so there's this great Bible study. I love it because later on in the gospel, the Cleopas and the other disciples said, were not our hearts burning when he opened the scriptures to us? They had heartburn. They had heartburn. The best Bible study in the world gives you heartburn. And your heart's burning inside of you. Did that ever happen to the two of you in that pew at confirmation class? You get me heartburn sometimes. Okay? When we talked about theology and opening the Bible and that. They had heartburn. But they did not recognize Jesus by his face. They did not recognize Jesus by his voice. You sound like your father. Pun intended there, Jesus, Son of God. And they did not recognize him by the Bible study. I have a feeling that Cleopas and the other disciple were part of the dozens of people. The 12 were named, the 12, you know, male disciples. But they were part of the 3-year journey. They should have known him by his Bible study, his rhetoric. The two confirmation kids I'm picking on today, they know me after 2 years of confirmation. They know my rhetoric about grace, about God's love, and the whole rest of it all. I could give you a test, but college isn't over yet. They didn't understand who Jesus was for those 7 miles. My question for you today, in all life in the past week, is what keeps you from seeing Jesus in your midst, or God. Theologians have described that Cleopas and the other disciple, it was death. Death takes over. I'm going to go in 2 weeks and bury a friend of mine that I've known for 28 years. He was my primary doctor for 13 years of my life. I know his wife, who's a pastor. And so I'm going to go bury them as they requested I would do. But what keeps me from seeing Jesus? Well, death. Or distress, or sorrow, or confusion, or maybe wonderment. Do you not know what happened this past week? Misery, sadness, dismay, anger. That's what all the theologians say. They could not see the tree for the forest. The redwood tree, Jesus was in their midst, and they couldn't see because they were blinded by everything that went on the weekend before. What blinds you this past weekend or week that keeps you from seeing Jesus in your midst? Have you been in Bible study? Did you hear a sermon this last week sometime? What is it that causes you to open your heart to Christ? Well, the interesting thing is that Jesus, after he gave the Bible study, they were at Emmaus. He was going to go on and keep walking. I don't know where. Maybe you're going to go back to Jerusalem where he'll be that night. But what happened is the amazing thing. They invited him to stay for dinner. How often have you invited Jesus to stay for dinner at your house? Answer that one at coffee hour. How often do you invite Jesus or God into your life? When I was growing up, it was, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. And bless this food. Come, Lord Jesus. We prayed at every meal. My parents taught us that. I don't pray it often enough now as a single person sitting at my own table. I have to be the cook and the maid and the butler and the cleaner-upper after you're done eating and everything. But sometimes I catch myself, especially on holidays, I say, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. Amen. How often do you remember to say that? Invite Jesus into your life during the week when it's so horrible. When you're in a hospital room or at the deathbed of a loved one, as the disciples were. Or when you just have a crisis. I have a burned out headlight. You would think that end of the world came. I found out 2 days ago I have a burn. I'm going to be traveling the next weeks across country to different states. I need a new headlight. I actually bought the light bulb and it said, don't touch it. It'll blow up if you touch it. I said, I won't touch it. I'll take it to Delane Anderson. He can touch it and blow it up. I don't know how to change it to begin with. What is it in your life that you haven't invited Jesus to come and be a part of it? The disciples invited Jesus to come and stay and have a meal with them. And maybe even to spend the night. We got an extra bed, a guest bedroom. And so then comes the cherished formula. And people in Bible study this morning got this right too. Jesus took, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were open. It wasn't his face. It wasn't his voice. It wasn't the heartburn Bible study. It was the Eucharist, the great Thanksgiving, the Holy Communion. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. For Luke, the most important thing that can happen is worship. I am a pastor in the church, not because I'm such a great theologian, I should go teach at a seminary, not because I'm a chaplain in a hospital, not because I'm a counselor, I've been doing that with premarital counseling the past couple weeks, but because of worship. I, like Luke, think that worship is the most important thing in the world. Forget all the rest. They didn't know Jesus by his Bible study, and he gave the best darn Bible study in history. I wish I would have been there. It would have been wonderful. 3 years of seminary graduate work in 7 miles. No, for Luke, it's being at the table. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. Unfortunately, there aren't two or three people around my dining room table when I sit down to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's just me and Jesus. So sometimes I forget to invite Jesus into the meal. I forget to invite Jesus into my life, and I just suck down the meal because I have to clean up afterwards. And I usually have somewhere I have to be, a meeting, an appointment, you know, a counseling session, whatever it might be. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. Community is so important. There were three of them at the table in Emmaus. There's more than three of us this morning here in community. And so the bread would be blessed and broken, given to you, that you too might understand life. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. But then he takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it, and gives it to you. That's the importance of this meal. That's how we see Jesus. And someone to this week reminded me, Pastor, you said that we get to hold the wounds in our hands. Not like Thomas, where we, you know, stick our finger in the side and go, oh, it must be Jesus. No, Jesus says, take and eat, take and drink. Hold my wounds in your hands and remember me. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. And know about the life I give you. The Easter verbs for Jesus are took, blessed, broke, and gave. The Easter verbs for you and me are come, see, go, and tell. And if you don't remember those four words, they're in the bulletin printed in big print on the bottom of one of the pages. Easter verbs, come, see, go, tell. We need to invite Jesus into our lives. We need to be there at the breaking of bread. And then we need to go and tell. Listen to the end of the story then. Cleopas and the other disciple, he or she. I think it's supposed to be each one of us. We are the other disciples, you and me. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road while Jesus was opening the scriptures to us? And that same hour, after doing the dishes, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. The 11 were saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon Peter. Then they, Cleopas and the disciple, told the 11 what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them. Not in his voice, not in his face, not in a Bible study that beats any Bible study in the world. Jesus' Easter verbs are took, blessed, broke, and gave to you this morning from this banquet table. Our Easter verbs then are to come and see and go and tell. Amen.
Thank you.
Apostles' Creed found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal and for the prayers of the church. We confess our faith in the same words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remember in our prayers Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kempel. We pray also for our mission partner ministry, Luther Heights Bible Camp, this whole month. Next weekend will be our Synod Assembly, where we'll be either re-electing Kristen Kempel as our bishop or electing a new bishop. And so we pray for safe travels for myself, Maxine Olson, and Marion Hudnall in Pasco next weekend. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine and Russia and the nations involved in it, including our own. We pray also this week now for the war in Sudan, and we pray for the people there. We pray for the people in Mississippi, Indiana, Illinois, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama, due to loss of property and life to the tornadoes in the past weeks. We pray for those in the Pacific Northwest and California, which now are involving mudslides with the snow melting and devastation that way. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Lord, you make yourself known in the breaking of bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all whom we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, come and see. Let us boldly live out and share your good news. Go and tell. Lord, your mercy is great.
Hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. As we know you in the breaking of bread, we know you in the grains of the field and the flowing waters of the rivers. Care for the earth you lovingly create. Strengthen all those who safeguard threatened lands and waters. Lord, your mercy is great.
Hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You prepare the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and giving them your peace. So bless all world leaders with the gifts of integrity, mercy, compassion for every human life, and hearts that justice and peace. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. Especially those whom we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those, loved ones, through illness and uncertainty. Lord, your mercy is great. Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journey. Bless our doubts and our questions. Provide trusted and safe relationships for all ages to nurture our connection to you and to one another. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all God. Resurrecting God, you bring us new life every day. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially loved ones whom we lift up before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and the new life and hope in you. Lord, your mercy is great.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can imagine. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church here is the third Sunday of Easter. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcasts. Happy birthday today to Troy Kendall in Brooklyn Woodworth. Happy birthday this week to Alex Teedy, Chuck Strom Jr., Evan Gallegos, Dale Moracle, and Robin Herndon. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page with the week's events listed on the schedule there. There are many events coming up in the days. Cleanup day has been scheduled for Saturday, May 20th. If you see or know of things that need to be cleaned up or taken care of, please write them on the cleanup sheet outside the office. AF Daily Bread will be held this Monday, April 4th, or 24th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., pulled pork will be served. We'll be in need of dishwashers. If you can help, please let Pat Lute know. Thank you. Are there any announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones? I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our Easter offertory hymn is hymn 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving in preparation for Holy Communion. 44. We speak the great thanksgiving, but we sing the Holy Holy and we sing the Lamb of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And Magdalene and the Marys, with Peter and all the disciples, and the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Hymn number 377, Hallelujah, Jesus is risen. Hymn 377.